Second Amendment Tuesdays has been moved to Second Amendment Wednesdays just for today. Penny Dean will update us with what's going on in New Hampshire legislature. This is Steve Voss with Come and Take It.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
All right, so once again, Penny Dean couldn't make it with us on Tuesday, so here she is joining us today on Wednesday. And Penny, great to have you nonetheless.
Thank you very much. I hope that they know that Tuesday is the new Wednesday, or Wednesday is the new Tuesday.
Only for this week. We don't want to confuse them any more than they already are.
I'm telling you, I know, by golly. And, well, it's actually good. This is timely. Hopefully, you know, it'll air early in the day that everyone can call the State House and say, what is happening here? They're going to be, here's the rule, or the rumor I've heard is there's a bunch of bills tomorrow in exec session. And this would be the perfect time to tell your rep, or your rep in this particular case, all your reps, that we like or dislike certain bills. And we can tell them what they should like or dislike.
Yeah, since they're working for us, at least that's what I'm told.
Are they? This is so really cool. That is so really cool.
What a novel idea. Well, at least they're not like members of Congress who can pass along money in the form of pay raises to themselves and their employees, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. Can I get a job like that?
I want a job in the Obama administration as a bureaucrat for the Home Affordable Modification Program, because apparently they're not doing any work, so why not?
Yeah.
Get paid and do nothing.
And we want a raise, too, don't we?
Why? Absolutely.
Because if we're there, we want a raise.
And free health care.
Yeah.
That's right. I want it all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, and I'm hoping that everybody who's listening to the radio really takes 5 or 10 minutes. Everyone says, you know, I'm busy, and I'm like, I work 100-hour weeks. You guys want to talk busy? I'll talk busy. You know, that's the bottom line, at least from my perspective, is that there are a whole lot of bills out there. And the reason that I tell people that we really have to look at them and do something about them is because all these bills, particularly some of them the most innocuous bills, people say, well, why do I care, for example, about HB 29, about going to Superior Court? And my answer is, well, if they make it like you're going to go where we tell you to and like it, okay, then what other rights, okay, are they going to mess with? Because I've heard some people say, for example, Representative Welch has suggested, well, it's going to cost the state more if you go to Superior Court. And I don't agree with that, but let's just pretend that he's right, okay? So maybe we shouldn't even have jury trials or anything else like that. It costs the state a lot of money for those, right?
It sure does.
We just shouldn't have those. We could probably just have one guy. We could all line up and have this guy look at you and go, guilty, innocent, innocent, guilty. That would save a lot more money, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And so I just don't think, not that we should be wasteful with our money, but a bill that allows you to go to the Superior Court rather than the District Court, which is the way it was in the past, I just think it's unreasonable. Why wouldn't that be a no-brainer and you wouldn't pass it? And we're talking about HB 29, the bill that would allow you to go to Superior Court rather than District Court when you have a license to carry. Denied, revoked, suspended, you know, the whole bit. Now, it's being heard in what's called an executive session. Today, Wednesday, at 10 a.m., it's going to be heard in LOB Room 204. And LOB Room 204 is the happening place for Wednesday. It is going to have a whole series of bills that's going to be sent there to be heard in what's called executive session. And everyone should look at going there. If you ever have an opportunity, now, an executive session, it's what I call a non-speaking place. You go in what I call be seen, not heard, because that's not like a public committee, or I'm sorry, a public hearing whereby you testify.
Mm-hmm.
But you can learn a lot about what's going on.
This is before the House Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee.
That is. Room 204, which I've spent many, many hours of my life in, is where the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee meets. It's in the Legislative Office Building. When you walk in, you go to the second floor, get off the elevator, down the hall to your right.
Yep.
And I always tell people it's very, very easy to find. And next, we have HB 225, relative to the return of personal property confiscated by law enforcement agencies from a person. That's an executive session today, Wednesday. It's at 10 a.m. as well, and that's HB 225. That may be of interest to people. Next is HB 330, and that is being heard in executive session tomorrow. And the title is relative to carrying firearms, and what some people have called it is the constitutional carry bill. And I know that it has a lot of laudable goals, and the initial bill was very, very flawed. And now we have a bill that's differently flawed.
Well, just to point out for our listeners' benefit and our longtime listeners to remind them, House Bill 330 is a competing bill with another one, 524, I think. No,
536.
536. That's right. You're correct. I'm confusing myself. Which was Representative Hull's bill, which would accomplish a lot of the same thing, except have a few more protections or what in them. Whereas House Bill 330 is the one that leadership got behind and said this is the kind of bill that they would support. But tell us what happened.
Well, and I'd say this is the most recent version. I saw several amendments flying back and forth. So I'm relying on the most recent amendment, which was given to me by Representative Kreese, who is the chair of the subcommittee that is working on this bill. So I always tell people, and this has always been a very frustrating thing to me, is when you amend a bill, put the darn amendment on the website right away. Because sometimes amendments don't go on the website right away. So a reasonable person, like listeners, would go, okay, I went to the website and she was talking about this, and where does it say it in the bill? And so sometimes you have to make sure what version of a bill you're looking at. And so in this particular case, the most recent bill, or the most recent version of the bill, that I have is a little different from what you see on the website. And so I always tell people, you got to look at the most recent one. The most recent amendment, which is the one I believe they're considering tomorrow, or which I've been told they're considering tomorrow, is an absolute, it's a horror show.
Okay.
Would you like to tie New Hampshire right to carry to federal law?
I'm not so sure I would.
Would you particularly like to tie it to 18 U.S.C. 922, which is where all the criminal prohibitions are that change every day, that basically, or I shouldn't say that change every day, but we've had problems, at least in my mind, when you have federal law, when it comes to firearms, people don't understand you have to comply with federal law in general.
Right.
You have to comply with state law. And now, in some places, you have to comply with local law. Now, New Hampshire has what's called statewide preemption for firearms,
mm-hmm.
which means that no city or municipality can enact firearm regulations. So, for example, the city of Manchester can't enact regulations pertaining to firearms, for example, usage, carrying. They can't say you can't carry them in city parks,
mm-hmm.
which is why, for example, we've had people talk about how the city of Manchester got real cute at the Verizon Arena, and they leased it to a private entity. And that's why the Verizon Arena, for example, has metal detectors and won't let people carry firearms in there.
Correct.
Okay. And that's the reason they're able to get away with it. Now, if the city of Manchester was operating the Verizon Arena, guess what? People could carry firearms in there.
That's right. One of the things about that Verizon Wireless arena, they don't tell you at the door that firearms are not allowed.
Oh, they don't?
I've never seen a sign there, and I've only been there a couple of times.
Oh, wow.
I don't recall seeing any signs. All I knew is one time, before I even could walk in the door, I had a pair of hands putting themselves around my waist, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on here, buddy? And I looked up and saw who it was. I'm like, Oh, okay, you're checking me out, but still.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Didn't even step inside the door, and the hands were already on me, so.
Oh, my God.
Checking me out, yeah.
I've never went there, or I've never been there, and here's the reason I've never been there. As soon as people told me they had a metal detector. Now, did you go through a metal detector?
I think so.
Okay. As soon as someone told me that there was a metal detector there, I said, I'm not going to go and spend my money there because here's what I believe.
They must have one at each door, you know, fairly, well, not as noticeable like you would through an airport. At least at an airport, you know you're going through
uh-huh.
one. So, I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah. No, so I always tell people just vote with your wallets and don't spend your money there.
There you go.
I mean, that's the only way to do that. And so, basically, to get back to HB 330, the goal of the bill is what's called constitutional carry, to remove the prohibitions of needing a license to carry a concealed firearm. But I can tell you the subcommittee met last Thursday at the end of all the sessions. Remember HB?
Yes.
Yeah. The whole what I call last Thursday was like... Oh,
it was a subcommittee work session, right, which is where they came up with this amendment that you have.
Absolutely. And here's what's notable, is I can tell you the people that I saw at the subcommittee, okay? The chiefs of police and their lobbyists, or who I believe to be their lobbyists, the woman I've seen with them. So the bottom line is if they're supporting this type of thing, and again, the New Hampshire chiefs of police have not been the most pro-firearm organization that I've ever found. And that's saying it nicely. Sarah Brady's not pro-firearm either. The fact that they would, I guess you'd say, embrace this, I think that alone is concerning to me because my concern whenever, you know, I ask people, is it the bill good or bad, I'll say first, well, who's supporting it and who's opposing it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you tell me Sarah Brady thinks it's good, what do I know?
You know,
I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. If Sarah Brady thinks it's good, if the National Coalition to Ban Handguns thinks it's good, if we have all sorts of these firearms, what I call the firearm safety groups.
Right.
If they support it, I generally go, well, I really oppose this bill. And so HB 330 ties New Hampshire law to federal law. And I want to read some of the provisions of this proposed, I guess you'd say, the current amendment that the subcommittee has adopted and supported.
Okay.
This particular amendment is literally ties things to federal law, 18 U.S.C., but more importantly, at least from my perspective, it has all of these changes in law. And I tell people right now, if you look at RSA 159.6 and RSA 159, it is relatively simple, straightforward statutory construction written by plain old people that spoke English, which is really good.
Yes.
Okay. Any reasonable person can read it in general and know what's allowed and know what will get you sent to jail. And that's the way it should be. You shouldn't require five Philadelphia lawyers to figure out what the heck is happening.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you read the amendment to HB 330-FN, it starts out with 159.4, carrying without a license. We first start out with what I call the federal mumbo-jumbo language, notwithstanding any provision of law to the contrary. Why would you put that in there? What does notwithstanding any provision of law to the contrary mean?
Would you please explain it? Because I think a lot of people get tripped up on this.
That's exactly the problem. Here's what it's supposed to mean. Even if there's any law that says differently, this law stands.
Okay.
Well, what happens, and that's putting in plain, simple brass tacks language, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is, if you have contrary laws, why don't you amend them or repeal them? But the problem that you get, okay, is let's say that there's some conflicting laws. And let's say someone's charged. The judge then says, look, it's my duty to uphold the law. The legislature passes the law. The governor signs it. Becomes law. It's my job to try and discern their will and to do what they want me to do. If I have a law in front of me that says you can't spit on the sidewalk after 6 o'clock and you spit on the sidewalk after 6 o'clock and the state proves it, I have to impose certain penalties, presuming that there's mandatory penalties attached. And so in this particular instance, the bottom line is how the heck can anyone figure this out? If you have two or three conflicting laws, and that's what happens when you just continue passing laws, you know, they're going to say, look, this person broke this law, and the person who's charged is going to say, well, look at these two other laws. They seem to give me permission to do this.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so the bottom line is why make things hard? You know the KISS principle?
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. My favorite principle. Okay, no person who is 18 years of age or older. Now tell me what should grab you when you hear that right now. No person who is 18 years of age or older shall be guilty of an offense. Right now under New Hampshire law, you know what the age limit is?
18?
No.
21?
No.
I don't know.
There isn't one.
What?
Well, there shouldn't be.
To carry a firearm? I mean, to carry a pistol on your side?
Correct.
There is no restriction.
Right.
How about that?
As there should not be, and here's why. Anybody who's under 18 is under the control of who?
The parents.
The parents. Don't you think that you should make the decision for your child as to what they should and shouldn't do?
Is there a federal law regarding whether somebody under 18 can carry a, say, loaded pistol down the street riding their bicycle?
We're talking New Hampshire, okay?
Right.
New Hampshire doesn't have those laws, and the problem is that federal laws primarily pertain to possession and transfer from FFLs, which is federal firearms licensees.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so if you are not 21 years of age, you cannot purchase a handgun from a federal firearms dealer.
Right.
So if you want to go to Riley's, let's say,
mm-hmm.
Go to Chester Arms, go to wherever, and buy a handgun, they're going to say, well, are you 21 years of age?
Right.
And you're going to prove, and you say you're 19, they're going to say, sir, I'm really sorry, you're out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here is the problem, though. This is a bill that basically changes a huge amount of jurisprudence and the way things have been done, because a parent is really in the best position to make decisions for 16, 17, 18-year-olds. I can tell you, when I was a little kid, I could have a rifle. My cousin wasn't allowed to even touch a BB gun until he was 13, you know, because he was an irresponsible kid. And I hate to say it. I'm not going to say his name because he'd come get me. But what I'm trying to say is, and this is what I see with parents. Some parents, when their kid are 5, they give them a rifle and let them target practice, okay? Other ones, their kid's 18, and they go, you still can't touch the family saw, you know?
Right, right, uh-huh.
And each parent makes that decision for their teenagers or their children as they should. And so let's say that you live in the country, okay? And you want your 16-year-old kid to be able to ride the four-wheeler around and shoot varmints on your property.
Right.
Well, not with this. Basically, what's going to happen? What's going to be happening unless he has 18-year-olds supervising him, written permission from mom and dad with him at all times, and I could go on and on and on. But the bottom line is, as a practical matter, okay, parents should make that decision.
Is there more to this House Bill 330 amendment that we need to talk about? Well, good. Let's take a time out right here. Penny Dean joining us here on Second Amendment Tuesdays, actually heard here on Wednesday right now on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. And we'll continue the conversation with the New Hampshire legislature, all their actions coming up and what's being considered that affect gun owners here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.